This podcast is brought to you by Northern Motor Group. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Like every Monday, it's time to go to the Herald Sun's journo, Dave Davutovic. Dave, thank you so much for coming on FNR.
Absolute pleasure.
And Dave, something a little bit more positively in the A-League. Former Matildas head coach Alan Stajic, first game in charge, and it ended with a win.
Yeah, it did. Great to see him get another opportunity. I guess, 5 or 6 weeks ago, that didn't look like it would be the case, and we really felt for him. But, look, he clearly deserved another opportunity. It obviously emerged that, nothing untoward happened in his, final days, weeks, months, whatever you want to call it, in his Matildas tenure. And what a glorious way to start. With the Mariners, although it was a nervy end, wasn't it? I mean, 3-0 up and they were absolutely cruising. But, the Jets came home strong. But a great start. And I thought, I guess putting it into context, I thought it was just a great, his signing and the fact that he's made that transition from the women's to the men's game. I just think it's a massive positive for Australian football because, you've got all these other codes and, they've started sort of moving into the women's space and whatnot. But really, do you see coaches go straight from a women's job to a men's job? And I think that's just another sign of, how far we've come, how far the women's game's come and, how professional the women's game is, I guess.
And Alan Stajic post-match said that it was almost a match made in heaven, considering both him and the Mariners have had a difficult period, and he was very happy with the results. I'm sure he would have been quite nervous towards the end there. What did you make of those frantic few minutes towards the end?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was stock standard, I guess, when you've got, when you've got a team chasing a final spot. I mean, the Jets were only a few points out of the top six and, would have looked at the fixtures at the start of the round and thought, we could be pretty bloody close to the six by the end of it with Melbourne City, who were just ahead of them playing Sydney FC and them hosting the Mariners. And perhaps that's where, where it all went wrong. Perhaps they got a little bit ahead of themselves. But look, the Jets certainly had opportunities to win it off the back of O'Donovan and Vargas, obviously pegging back that scoreline. But look, it's just good for the, so much is made of the whole promotion relegation and, the fact that the Mariners haven't got anything to play for. So it was just good to see them, competitive off the back of a, let's be honest, a disgraceful performance the week before. And, perhaps the club's lowest ebb, and they've certainly been, many bad moments along the journey. But, no one expected that, perhaps except for Alan Stajic. So a great start for him.
And considering two training sessions in and he's got a win under his belt, and I'm sure Mariners fans would feel some kind of redemption after what happened in the 2008 grand final. So this time all things went their way against the Jets. As for Newcastle, they've got quite a difficult run home. They play the Wellington Phoenix, Perth Glory and Sydney FC. Ernie Merrick has said that they need at least 3 wins out of five to have a crack at making the finals. Dave, do you see them continuing to push for a top six finish?
Well, Wellington's the big one, isn't it? Because they, they can catch them, although, an 8-point gap, I think it's probably unlikely at the moment. And I guess their other hope is that by the time they play Glory, they've got top spot stitched up. And, they may be, I don't think they'll be putting the queue in the rack with Tony Popovich in charge, but maybe they do, rotate the squad a little bit. But, again, even so, I think Glory have got the deepest squad in the A-League. So, look, it's a tough one. And that, like, the weekend's results were just an absolute dagger blow for Ernie Merrick because, like I said, they would have been going in thinking, we're going to be knocking on the door of the six, and now they're 5 points away with five games left. And as you mentioned, Athos, a tough fixture coming home. But to be honest, they've only got themselves to blame because they've had so many opportunities this season to get results, and they've got a pretty decent squad as well. I guess Roy O'Donovan missing the first 8 games didn't help, and they've had a few injuries along the journey. But, there's no excuses really for the Jets off the back of making the grand final last year, off the back of you know, a fantastic season. And yeah, unfortunately, I didn't qualify for the Asian Champions League. And again, you can't, you know, use that as an excuse to fixture cluster. So yeah, if they miss out ultimately, which I think will be the case now, they've only got themselves to blame.
And Dave, how do you think each club will go, given we have a week off now with the international break?
How do you mean?
Well, in terms of, does it benefit them? Is it a disadvantage or an advantage? Some teams like to just keep the momentum going rather than have a week off, but unfortunately they can't pick and choose when the international break is on.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, look, some clubs are obviously more affected than others, with Ollie Roos away on their, you know, on Ollie Roos' duty with their qualifiers. There's no Socceroos games, curiously, this international break, which I find quite bizarre, to be honest. But, I don't think... I think clubs would probably prefer to keep going. But, yeah, certainly, you know, coaches who've got perhaps an extended injury list, you know, would probably welcome this break. I mean, you know, Perth Glory would probably want to keep the momentum going. I think Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory, considering they've started the Asian Champions League campaign, probably won't mind. Just, you know, let the boys rest up for a few days and freshen them up and maybe train hard for, you know, for a few days and then just taper off again as the next games draw closer. But, I think the real winners, or where the opportunities come in, are those guys who have perhaps been on the outer, or, you know, just coming back from injury. Just that extra week off gives them a chance to really push for selection, because now with five rounds left, you know, it gets harder and harder to work back into the team.
And a number of big crunch games for those sides inside the top six. We are, of course, speaking with the Herald Sun's David Davutovic. And Melbourne Victory got back to winning ways. It mightn't have been the most convincing of wins, but they did get the 3 points. Their form against top six sides isn't all that good. They're yet to beat the Phoenix or Melbourne City or even Perth Glory in three meetings. Dave, does that worry you at all? I know we speak a lot about Victory being what we call a final side, but does their lack of points on the board against top six sides give any reason of concern?
Yes and no. I think, you know, once it's brought up, it can become a mental block. But I think you have to look at the team that they've put out on the park. And, you know, I mentioned earlier about Perth Glory having a deep squad. I don't think Melbourne Victory squad is very deep. So when they miss Honda, or when they miss Toivonen, or when they miss Jorg Niedermeyer, who's been out for a large chunk of the season, you know, it really affects them. They've rarely had all of their visa players out on the park together. So, you know, I think it's turned out that a lot of those games have, you know, been against some of the top sides. So I think once, if and when they can get their best 11 on the park, you know, they're still a pretty frightening prospect. And as unconvincing as that win was on Saturday night, they just needed to get the 3 points in the bag off the back of a winless streak of six games. So they just needed to win. They've come back from a tough trip to Hiroshima. I was over there last week, and, you know, it's not easy. You've got to get they flew to Sydney, then to Tokyo, then Hiroshima. It was almost a 24-hour trip door to door. So I know where I'd rather be going off the back of a 24-hour flight. Yeah, but look, it certainly knocks the stuffing out of you. So yeah, I think, you know, going back to the earlier question as well, they certainly will welcome this international break. And, you know, another big positive was, you know, Niedermeyer playing his first 90 minutes in months. You know, not much has been made of him, but, you know, the guy played for Stuttgart. He played Champions League football. He can clearly play. So if you can get him up and running in the centre of defence and just add a calming influence, you know, it really rounds out their spine and, I think can really make them dangerous heading into finals.
And Dave, touching on the starting 11, there was one notable absence with Lawrence Thomas. What do you make about this situation? Is it just Kevin Muscat rotating his starting 11, or do we read into the fact that the Japanese and South Korean transfer windows remain open?
I don't think it's got anything to do with transfers. He basically said that you know, it was more about Matt Acton coming in. So it was a really curious one, because I mean, you do often see goalkeepers being changed, but it might come off the back of some you know, let's say dodgy shot-stopping performances. But I don't think that's been the case for Lawrence Thomas. I mean, yeah, he's, you know, there's a few goals that have gone in that, you know, if he analyses himself critically, probably could have done better. But, you know, for the most part, he's been solid. He's been one of Victory's key players this season. And last year, he had a fantastic final series. He was their, you know, their best player, I thought, in that final series. So, you know, and he had a pretty good performance on Tuesday night away to San Freche. So I was quite shocked when I saw the team sheets released. Look, I'm not sure what's happened behind the scenes. I don't think there's any, you know, anything untoward. But, Muscat said after the game that, you know, Thomas needed to do better, as did everyone. So perhaps he's just, you know, challenged him on the eve of finals, and that might just prompt Lawrence Thomas to, you know, raise his already pretty impressive performances. And if he can step up for the tail end of the season, again, you get Niedermeyer back. Tommy Deng will be back from Ollie Roos, Judy, Lee Broxham, Honda and Toivonen are up and running again. You know, they're a pretty frightening prospect still for me, Melbourne Victory.
That it is, and a stern warning from Kevin Muscat at a good time of the season as well. And we saw, as you mentioned there, Dave, Lawrence Thomas almost single-handedly won Victory that championship. At the other end of the spectrum, Costa Barbarousis had another superb performance. Is he a potential smoky for the Johnny Warren medal?
It's an interesting one. I thought you were going to ask me, is he a smoky for the Socceroos? And I was going to say, absolutely not, because he's been capped elsewhere. But no, he's it's a good question, actually, because he's just completely flown under the radar. I mean, you know, obviously I'm following the stats and whatnot, but, you know, the fact that he almost got to the top of the scorers' charts, you sort of, I mean, it almost caught me by surprise a little bit. So, you know, he's been good. He's been consistent. He's just so durable, isn't he? Like, for all the, you know, the visa guys that have been missing and the other injury concerns they've had, I mean, he just has not skipped a beat. And, you know, has really benefited from playing in that front two, you know, along with Toivonen. And, you know, when you got James Troisi, who set up two goals the other night, and, you know, Keisuke Honda feeding you through balls. I mean, and Terry Antonis, when he's up and running, another player who's got a return to the team. I mean, you know, you're going to get chances, and he has fluffed a few. I mean, he could have had four the other night, let's be honest. But, mate, he's been right up there. I mean, it sometimes with, you know, these medals, it depends on the voting system, and it is a 3-2-1 voting system. So, yeah, I think, I'm not sure he'll win it, but I reckon he'll be in the top 5 to 10 at this stage.
And he's been in the A-League for so long as well. And because he's had such a lengthy career in Australia and he's not necessarily been the flavour of the month as Honda and Toivonen have been, do you reckon we underappreciate him in that regard?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, he's, you know, he just goes about his business quietly. I mean, at stages, he's been a bit of a whipping boy for some of the Victory fans, but, you know, let's be honest, who hasn't? They're fans, you know, massive support base and high expectations. But, he's been fantastic for them for a long, long time. Of course, he won a title at Brisbane Roar under Ange Postecoglou after initially emerging at Wellington Phoenix. So, you know, probably that Wellington stint, you know, a couple of years ago was the lowest point for him, you know, especially because they signed him as a marquee and he was back in his hometown, but, you know, probably, you know, according to their expectations, didn't deliver. But, you know, let's not forget, he was on Panathinaikos' books 5 or 6 years ago. So the guy can clearly play. I think he played Europa League back then. So, you know, he just seems to be happy, content, playing his football, and he's so quick. He's a constant threat. So, he doesn't get a lot of airtime, Costa Barbarousis. So, at least we've had a few minutes here dedicated to it.
And, Dave, finally, before we let you go, we also saw the young Victory midfielder Josh Hope start at the weekend. How did you rate his performance?
I thought he started off very poorly and nervously, and he got better as the game wore on. I was actually surprised to see him taken off. I'm not sure, it was 65th, 70th minute, roughly. And he was just getting better as the game wore on. And I thought maybe it was a good opportunity for Muscat to keep him on just to build his confidence, because he was just looking really ominous in terms of some of those attacking forays. So, yeah, one of his better performances for victory. But like I said, he started really poorly. Yeah, and it's just, I wrote it in my match report. I mean, unfortunately, a guy like Joshy Hope, without having the stats in front of me, he's played probably, I don't know, 12 to 14 A-League games, maybe started, you know, a handful of those, three or four. Any other country in the world, he's up to 50, 60 games already. And, you know, that's why he starts nervously, because, he's in and out, lack of opportunities. And I don't blame Kevin Muscat. I blame the Australian system, because we've only got 9 Australian clubs, 10 A-League clubs. Young players do not get opportunities. And unfortunately, when the trickle-on effect of that, you've got the Oli Roos playing at the moment, lost the qualifier, a friendly game against the Malaysian club side, and now drew to Malaysia today. I mean, I'm not expecting big things from the Oli Roos. I think they could really struggle to get through this phase of qualifying. And you're not surprised, because, guys like Joshy Hope, should be in the mix with 50, 60 games under their belt as opposed to 15, 16. So, our talent pool is just really shallow at the moment. And, it's only by expanding that professional footprint can we make any seismic differences.
Well, Dave, thank you for coming on Evenings on FNR, and we look forward to chatting to you again at the same time next week.
Always a pleasure, guys.